If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 136. Psalm 136. This year, I was looking for a Bible reading plan to be able to go through the entire Bible in a year. So I try to do this each year, and you look for maybe something a little bit different. And I was intrigued by a plan called the chronological reading plan through the Bible. So it doesn't mean that you start at Genesis 1 and you end up at the end of Revelation. You'll get there eventually, but you do it from a chronological standpoint. And so as you start out in the book of Genesis, all of a sudden, partway there, you go into the book of Job. And then as you start getting into Kings and Chronicles, you match them together. This was happening in Kings. This is a chronicle. And then Psalms gets interspersed in there because they were written all at different times. And for many of the Psalms, they related to something specifically that was going on in the life of an individual or the life of a nation. And so it's just been really intriguing. And so as I've entered into this reading through the Bible, and then I was getting into the Psalms, there was a word, two words, that kept jumping out at me. And I don't know about you, and I may not even know how to best preach this sermon, but it was two words that it just hit me. And then it seemed like I saw it all the time. It's called steadfast love. God's steadfast love. And so as I was reading, I hit Psalm 106, and I was introduced to that phrase, steadfast love. And that same day, I was also supposed to read Psalm 107, and there was steadfast love. And I just kind of made a note. I said, that's a powerful word. Here it is. Then 3 days later, I was in Psalm 89, and there was God's steadfast love. Then 2 days later, I was in Psalm 33. It was God's steadfast love. Psalm 36, God's steadfast love. And then 6 days later, when I got to Psalm 51, it started out with God's steadfast love. And then all of a sudden, I got to Psalm 86, and it was three times in there it talked about God's steadfast love. And then 4 days later, in Psalm 26:3, it says, "For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness." I just started laughing. I said, yes, steadfast love is before my eyes. It's like I see it everywhere. And then there was this desert moment where I didn't see steadfast love for 27 days. And then I came to Psalm 136 and I hit the mother load of steadfast love. There are 26 verses in Psalm 136 and every verse has God's steadfast love endures forever. It's like boom, boom. It made up for the other 27 days that I had not seen steadfast love. And so this has just been resonating, ruminating with me. And all of a sudden, you know, when it came this Sunday, I said, this is what I want to preach. This is what I think God wants me to share. That word steadfast love, it is a Hebrew word, hesed, H-E-S-E-D. And it's a word that when you study Hebrew and you look at love, it's a real strong word. And in the New Testament, it'd almost be like agape, as much as we talk about that and the strength of that love. And it's translated in the English Standard Version as steadfast love. Some translations, it talks about just love. For some, it's faithful love. For some, it's loving kindness, gracious love, and even translated as mercy. And it's a word that's hard to define because it is a deeper kind of love. It is a unique covenant love that only God can give. It's a love that never changes. It's a love that never fails. It's a love that's always promised. It's a love that's always true. And it's a love that we can trust regardless of what our circumstances may be. Steadfast love. Well, when I saw that word steadfast, I just thought I'd look it up in an English dictionary. I said, what does the word steadfast mean? And it says resolutely firm and unwavering. Resolutely firm and unwavering. I think if somebody came to you and said, I've got a love for you that is resolutely firm and unwavering. This is God's love to us. And then the synonyms, loyal, faithful, committed, devoted, dedicated, dependable, reliable, steady, true, constant, staunch, trusty. All of this, steadfast love. It's loyal. It is faithful. This word, hesed, is used 245 times throughout the Old Testament, and half of them are in the book of Psalms, 127. 127 times this word is used in the book of Psalms. And when you get to Psalm 136, as I said before, it is the mother lode of steadfast love, because this whole psalm is about God's steadfast, enduring love. It's a psalm that is a psalm of praise and worship, and it's followed by a refrain that states the reason for this praise: because God's steadfast love endures forever. And in just a moment, as we read through this passage, you will see that everything that he lists, he comes back and says, God's steadfast love endures forever. Which what he is saying is that everything that you see taking place, all of this creative and redemptive activity, all these things that talk about God's character, it is because of his enduring love. It's because of his steadfast love that endures forever. And so Psalm 136, I want you to hope you have your Bibles open. And even if you don't have a Bible, we will put it on the screen. And I'm going to ask you to stand. And so for all of us, we want to stand. And we're going to go sort of old school responsive reading. How many of you grew up in a church where you had responsive readings? Raise your hand. Yes. And those responsive readings used to come out of what book? The hymn book. Yes, we're going to explain what one of those is in a little bit later. But that would be it. You pull out the hymn book, and I think it was in the back area. They had responsive readings. And so today we're going to be on page 458 to read responsive reading. Well, today we're going to be on page 520 in your Bible, on mine. And what we'll do is I want us to read this, and I will read the first statement, and then I want you to read the refrain, which says, for his steadfast love endures forever. Some of you may have different translations. You got to come with me on this one, okay? You got to go ESV on me, and you got to use steadfast love. Some of you others are going to use a different translation, and we'll just carry you out. But don't worry about that. God loves you. I love you. It'll be fine. But just for me, let's just go with this. And I want you to listen to what the psalmist is saying. Okay, Psalm 136 starts here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. And brought Israel out from among them. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. You may be seated. Steadfast love endures forever. When you read through this passage, what you see is that we serve a God who is not a distant God, but he is an intimate God. He is a God who shows his love to us through his character and through his conduct and through his compassion. And just in this passage, you begin to see that both in his character, his conduct, and his compassion, everything that he does is motivated by his steadfast love, which endures forever. So let's just look at this passage quickly and look, first of all, at God's character, and that's verses 1 through 3. And in verses 1 through 3, when you look at God's character, just in these verses, they point two things. Number one is the goodness. We just sang about what a good, good father he is. We talk about his goodness. In verse 1, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The God that we serve is good. Too often people say, I look at God and he's this tyrant and all he's wanting to do is make life difficult for me. Not at all. One of the attributes of God is that he is good. He is defined, good is defined in terms of God and not vice versa. God alone is good without qualification. He is the arbiter. He's the judge. He's the norm. He's the standard of goodness. And it's not just that God gives good gifts, but all that is good, in fact, is God. He is good. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Did you see that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, because we serve a God who is a good God. And his steadfast love endures forever. We see his goodness, but we see his supremacy. We see his supremacy. And we see his supremacy in verses 2 and 3 when he says that he is the God of gods and he is the Lord of lords. He is supreme over all that man may worship. This steadfast love is the essence of the goodness of God, and it separates him from all the false gods. And keep this in mind, the goodness of God separates him from all the false gods. Those that follow Islam would worship a god, Allah. And the Muslims have 99 different names for Allah, but not one of those names is love. And those who serve him more out of fear and serve him out of just fear as to what he would do, rather than the God that's been shown to us in God's word is a God that is good and is a God who has a love that endures forever, who is an intimate God and a good God and wants the best for us. When you follow some of the other religions such as Hindu, there's this impersonal force out there. But on Christianity, it is a known good God. You move into where we live today, and you could either call it New Age or whatever, to where now we've established it to almost, we're our own God. It's what we want to do. And yet you see the fallacies in all of those, and when you look at the Creator God who is revealed in Scripture, he says his steadfast love endures forever. We serve a God who loves us, and he has a steadfast love, a faithful love, a strong love, and it endures forever. There's an intimacy of connection that we have with God. And there's a supremacy. He says he's the God of gods and he is the Lord of lords. He's sovereign. He's master. He's supreme over all. And he is a God who never changes. Because God is unchangeable, that means his love never changes. You want to keep those in mind because you'll hear people talk about, does God ever change? And say, no, God doesn't change. Well, if he's unchanging, that means his love is unchanging. He will always love you. Now, I know many of you are all excited because in 2019, it'll be the 50th anniversary of the release of the Spiral Staircase song that said, I'll love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. Now, you're talking about a cool date song. That's as good as it can get. You come up to that girlfriend or whatever and say, I love you more today than yesterday, but hey, not as much as tomorrow. Oh, you're so sweet. Well, listen, that is a great dating song, but it's a horrible theological song. Because God isn't sitting there saying, hey, Danny, I love you more today than I did yesterday, but hey, wait till tomorrow, I'll love you even more. No, his love doesn't change. You see, he has this enduring love, this steadfast, loyal, faithful, dependable love for me, the same today as it was yesterday, and the same as it will be tomorrow. We worship God because his steadfast love endures forever. So you see what God's character is, but now look at God's conduct. And in God's conduct, what the psalmist does, he breaks it into two parts. First is he talks about creation. And he talks about the creative activity that God did. And from verses 4 through 9, he just walks through parts of creation. And after each assertion, he repeats the refrain, the steadfast love of God endures forever. And what he's letting you know is that everything that God created, everything that he did throughout this creative activity is a demonstration of his unchanging love. And so just by knowing this psalm, and we take a look at creation, and whatever it is that we look at, and whether it's the trees, the birds, the sun, the moon, the sky, the ocean, the lake, whatever it may be, that every time that we look into creation, we should stop and say, you know what? His steadfast love endures forever. Out of his love, he created this world. And so that causes me to praise him and to love him even more. But see, he talked about creative activity, but then he talked about redemptive activity. And the redemptive activity he talks about goes from verses 10 through 22, and he recounts of leading the children of Israel out of slavery and into the promised land. And he recounts to all of these who know the history of Israel and to know that they were placed into captivity for over 400 years in Egypt. And they cried out to God. And then God lifted up one man by the name of Moses who would be his servant, his mouthpiece. And he says, go. And then you tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he talks about how that he released them and then they were getting ready to go to the Red Sea. And then they got to the Red Sea and they split the Red Sea. And then he led them across there. And then when Pharaoh's army came through, then the sea closed back up. And then he guided them through the wilderness. And then he got them into the promised land. And he even talked about two of the kings, Sihon and Og. They were powerful kings during that day. And as the children of Israel were trying to move into the promised land, these kings stood up and said, you cannot come through our land. And then God, in essence, said, I think I'll have a last word on that. And so sure enough, later on, when they took over all the land, they took over these two kings and they took over their land. And he said, in my activity, I did all of this because I have a steadfast love which will endure forever. And there's that redemptive activity. But then those last three verses, you see where there's God's compassion. And in God's compassion, verse 23, it is that it is he who remembered us in our low estate when we were helpless. In verse 24, and he rescued us from our foes. He remembered us in our low estate. He rescued us from our foes. He knew when we were helpless. He knew when we were outnumbered. And in the midst of all of that, your steadfast love endures forever. I mean, all the world seems like it's against me here. And God says, hey, listen, my steadfast love will endure forever. The acts of God required to bring his people from slavery through peril to the land he had promised them could only be regarded by Israel as manifestations of his unchanging love. You know, he didn't want them just to always think back to the Passover and all the miracles so they can say, wow, we got a God that does a lot of stuff outside the box. No, he wanted them to understand and remember, I have a steadfast love. I've done all of this because I love you. And my love will endure forever. There's a compassion that our God has. And it's only in Christian faith that you find the idea of this compassionate, concerned, and involved God. A God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of forbearance, and a God who cares about your life and my life, even to the intimate details. You say, really? You really think? Yes. Can you even wrap your mind around that? Well, last night I went to the Auburn football game, which was in Auburn, and around the beginning of the fourth quarter, I decided I was going to drive back home so I wouldn't get home too late. Got in my car, I drove back, and I went to Alex City to stop at the Wendy's. It's kind of, hey, just got to get something to eat before I head on home. And so I walk into Wendy's, I get my order, I get back in my car, my phone's in my car, I turn my car on, and my phone has this deal where it comes on and says, I'm smarter than you are, and my phone comes on, and it says on there, 1 hour and 11 minutes to home. 1 hour and 11 minutes to home. Really? You can think that? It was 10:17 when I got in the car. And as I was driving, I started doing the math. I said, oh, good, I'll get home before 11:30. That'll be good. So an hour and 11 minutes from 10:17 means you get home at what time? 11:28. Some of you are challenged in math, and I know that, and I try not to ask those kind of questions for some of you. So 11:28, I hit the road that was leading into our neighborhood, and all of a sudden I pulled into my neighborhood. It was 11:26. When I drove and I hit my driveway and the garage went up and I pulled into my driveway, it was 11:28. Oh, my goodness. That was scary to me. But I got to let you know, I checked the back of my car to make sure there wasn't anything hiding in there. I said, that's unbelievable. My phone and my car got together and said, it'll take him an hour and 11 minutes. He'll be back at 11:28. And we can sit there, and some of you have had that happen, and say, yeah, it's amazing what technology is. But then I can come back and I can say, our God loves you with such a love that he wants to help you in every aspect of your life, and he's got a purpose and a plan for you. And you go, nah, I don't know. I just don't know if I can believe that. Yes. I think God allows technology to continue to grow, so as we get wowed by technology, we then get wowed by our God and say, this is nothing to him. And this just keeps calling us back into the understanding that we serve a compassionate God. We serve a God who wants to have an intimate relationship with us. We have a God, and as he said 26 times in this passage, has a steadfast love that will endure forever. A steadfast, loyal, faithful, dependable love that will endure forever. And so there will be days when we feel unloved. There'll be days when we feel we've been betrayed. We're unseen. We're lonely. We're uninvited. But yet we can rest in the fullness of God's compassion and faithful commitment to us. And it is for all people. Verse 25, he who gives food to all flesh. Our universal God embraces all people due to his steadfast love. In fact, if you want to, you could do a homework assignment and take Psalm 136 and just enter in your own history of your life and make your one statement, and then right below it, his steadfast love endures forever. Then write the second thing, his steadfast love endures forever. Then write this, his steadfast love endures forever. It's like your own Psalm 136 that you've got. His steadfast love, it endures forever. Every time I read the Bible and I see steadfast love, it gave me a feeling of security and confidence. I just can't explain it. I'm just reading through a scripture and all of a sudden it says, his steadfast love. And the feeling that I got was one of confidence and security. And I understand that God's love is not performance-based. His love is not here today and gone tomorrow. His love is not something that I have to beg for. I don't have to plead with him to love me. His love is not something that when I go to bed, I wonder if I still have it. And when I wake up, I just hope he still loves me. When I have challenges in my day and I have challenges in my life, his steadfast love is there. And that means that he has my back and he has my front. And he cares for me, he wants the best for me, and he protects me. All of these feelings come to me when I read that word, steadfast love. But also got me to think. I said, God, why this sermon? Why this Sunday in this place? I don't know. I just feel that there's some here who maybe you've been in some difficult relationships, maybe in some abusive relationships. You've been taken advantage of. And you doubt if anyone can truly love you because you feel unlovable. And you wonder if you can ever love again because of what has happened to you. But let me tell you that the God who is revealed in creation and in the Bible does love you, and he invites you to walk with him. Psalm 26:3 that I mentioned before, for your steadfast love is before my eyes and I walk in your faithfulness. Your steadfast love is before my eyes. Let me just tell you, whatever you have been through, God's steadfast love is right there before your eyes. And he says, and I will walk in your faithfulness. I'm not walking in my strength. I'm not walking in my good works. I'm walking in your faithfulness. How do you put one foot in front of the other? Not because of your strength. It is because of the faithfulness of God. Because you see, your steadfast love, it endures forever. And I just want to promise you that you can take that step and that God offers that to you. Some here, you've lived a life that's been far from God. You have a life that's full of regrets and shame. And in fact, you might be here today because you tried all that the world has to offer, yet there's no peace and there's no joy and there's no fulfillment. In fact, you don't even know why you're here today. But you came in hoping maybe you can find an answer. And you wonder, can this God that we sang about and that we talk about, will this God accept you? Will he have love for you? Psalm 86:5 says, for you, O Lord, are good and, what's that next word? Forgiving. Abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Abounding in steadfast love. I mean, he says, I am overflowing with a steadfast, loyal, faithful love to anyone who calls upon him. That is wide open for you today. This is your good day. Because you have an opportunity to come out of the darkness that you have been living in and to come into the light and say, God, I want to walk in your faithfulness. I want to ask for you to forgive me, and I want to take that step with you. Now, there's some here who are Christians, and you've been a Christian. You made a decision for Christ earlier in life, but you have been living as a prodigal. And the farther away you got from God, the farther away you got from church and the things of God. But for some reason today, you're just tired of running, and you're wondering, is the God whom you placed your faith in years ago a God who still loves you, even though you've turned your back on him many times? Is there hope? Psalm 86:15, it says this, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Look at that. You, O God, O Lord, you're a God who's merciful, you're gracious, you're slow to anger, and you're abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He's ready for you to return. Because you see, he's abounding in loyal love. He's abounding in faithful love. He's abounding in committed love. He's abounding in devoted love. He's abounding in dependable love. He's abounding in reliable love. He's abounding in constant love. He's abounding in solid love. And he is abounding in firm and unwavering love. God is loving you and me just as we are, not as we should be. There is nothing any of us can do to increase his love for us and nothing we can do to diminish it. We're always welcome in our Father's arms. His love is eternal. His faithfulness is great. His mercies are new every morning. And whether we find ourselves in the mountaintop or in the valley, his love is unchanging and it is ever present. His steadfast love endures forever. The idea behind this word is that God not only practices steadfast love, but he is steadfast love. And he loves us in this way. And because he loves us in this way, it is the love that allowed him to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. I love Romans 5:8 when it says that, for God demonstrated his love for us. God demonstrated his love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God says, I love you so much, this is what I want to do. I want to demonstrate how much I love you. And that is when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And knowing that our sins had separated us from God, there had to be a payment for those sins. And he sent his one and only son, who lived a perfect life and who was holy. And yet he went to a cross and died and paid the penalty for our sins because God loved us. And then people say, well, could Jesus have come down from the cross? Well, he could have come down from the cross, but he didn't because of the love. This is the love he has for God. This is the love he has for us. And he said, I will pay the penalty. And he died for our sins. But then the Bible teaches that 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And whoa, once that happened, that he conquered death, conquered sin, and has given us an opportunity to come in this right relationship with God. And this God who has all this steadfast love, love that will endure forever, is right there with arms open wide, ready for us to make that decision. And see, there's a number of you that said, now, I've made that decision, but I've just gotten way far away from those arms. But I'd like to think about coming back. And if I did, would they still be welcoming? Yeah. Yes. Steadfast love endures forever. It is loyal, it is faithful, and it endures forever. Romans 8:35-39. Look at this on the screen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why will nothing separate us? Because his steadfast love endures forever. Our confidence is not in our love for God, which can be frail and fickle, but in his love for us, which is steadfast, it is faithful, and it is persevering. In all the uncertainties of human life, in all the questions that we have, there is one thing for certain that we can hitch our wagon to, attach our compass to, and that is God's steadfast love endures forever. Corrie Ten Boom, when I was growing up, I knew a lot about her, but for some of you, you may not know as much about her in newer generations, but it's during World War II, and she and her family lived in the Netherlands, and as they were living in the Netherlands, and Nazi Germany began to flex its muscle, and they began to take over different areas. When they came over and took over the Netherlands, then a part of what the Nazis wanted to do was to cleanse them of the Jewish people. And they would take them to concentration camps and they would kill them. And so she had an affinity of loving others, and she was a strong believer, and so was her family. And so when one person showed up with a suitcase in hand and said, I have no place to go, I can't go back to my house, they said, we will keep you here. And then there developed from there a whole movement of them keeping people and trying to protect them and then hopefully give them opportunities to get out of the country and get to safety. And there was a book and a movie called The Hiding Place built off of that. And so for a number of years, her family did this, and then somebody kind of ratted them out, and the authorities came and they arrested them. And they arrested her family, and I believe her dad only lived about 10 days later, and then he passed away. And they took Corrie Ten Boom, and they took her younger sister, and they placed them in a concentration camp. And I think they bounced them from one camp to another. And it was around 1944, and the war ended in 45. So, you know, your hope is that maybe we could live our way through here. And Corrie Ten Boom, who did survive it, an amazing story, is that it was a clerical error that allowed her to get out of that concentration camp. And once she was free, they had scheduled to gas and kill all the women in that area she was, and they were. She was the one who got out by some clerical error. And as she tells her story, she made this statement. She says, "Often I've heard people say how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather." Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister, Betsy, to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there, and everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. And I remember telling Betsy that I thought God had forgotten us. And her statement to her was, "No, Corey," said Betsy, "he has not forgotten us. Remember his word," and she quoted Psalm 103, verse 11, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." And then Corey concludes, "There is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances." And that is because his steadfast love endures forever. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we are reminded of the amazing love that you have for us, and that your steadfast love truly does endure forever. And Father, I know just the way life is, that there are a number of people here who just say, "I feel like I'm getting knocked down day after day." And for some, there's been a body blow, and maybe it's been a very difficult week. For others, there is something they've been living with, difficulties for days and weeks and months. And just constantly looking up, looking for some help, some hope, something they can hold on to. And Lord, may we all be reminded that you are right here with us, and that you're always with us. And that, Lord, that your steadfast love, it endures forever. And may that be a word of comfort to us. And Lord, for those that are struggling with certain decisions, may today be the day that you speak to their hearts and say, "Do you see where I'm leading you? Do you see where I'm wanting you to go? Do you know how to take that next step?" And maybe through this message, through this service, that they're able to take that next step. But for all of us, Lord, whether these are the best days of our life or the worst days of our life, may we know what that constant is. And that is, we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who is faithful and true, and has a steadfast love that endures forever. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.